take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs. We have studied now for 36 weeks the subject of growth in the Christian life. I don't know how soon we'll make a change because there are many, many topics yet that could be discussed. There are many, many topics that we could consider for this series. But tonight, lesson number 36, Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter number 4. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 3. It says, "For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Tonight, we're going to talk about growing in the area of our wisdom. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. We certainly need the Scripture. We need what the Scripture teaches in this area. Father, somehow, as a result of our time together tonight, gathered around your word, might we be wiser, and not with a worldly wisdom, but with a spiritual wisdom, with a biblical wisdom. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Do you find that often things don't turn out right for you? Or you go from problem to problem in your life. You ever think that you're just an accident looking for a place to happen? It may not be what's in your life. It could be what's not in your life. You say, "Well, I'm just all the time facing uphill battles." Now, the Christian life is full of battles, but I don't think it's supposed to be that way all the time. There's a lot of self-inflicted confusion in life. And I think one of the things that we need this thing called wisdom. Let me talk about it for a little while tonight. Solomon, it was said, was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth other than Jesus Christ. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is speaking. And he says this, he said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, he taught me also." So Solomon is speaking of some things that had been passed down to him from his father. Now, obviously, because this is Scripture, Solomon got some of this from his heavenly father, but probably his earthly father as well. And Solomon said, "My dad told me to get wisdom. I didn't tell him to get high. I didn't tell him to get famous. I didn't tell him to get powerful. Didn't tell him to get rich. Didn't tell him to get ahead. Didn't tell him to get muscular." He said, "Get wisdom. Get wisdom." People seek an awful lot of things in this life. When was the last time you heard a young person say, "You know, my ultimate goal is to get wisdom"? But the list that I gave, they want to get high and get famous and get powerful and get rich and get ahead and get strong. But when was the last time you heard one say, "I want to get wisdom"? And we're missing it because of we chase after the wrong things. Solomon says, "My dad told me that I should not forsake wisdom." In other words, the wisdom that I've been given. Don't leave it behind. Don't let it become outdated in my thinking. He said this in verse number 6 there. He said, "Wisdom shall preserve thee." Now, so folks, if wisdom's going to preserve us, there's multiple areas in life that can be preserved because of wisdom: the preservation of your marriage, the preservation of your purity, the preservation of your ministry, the preservation of your mind. I don't think I have ever, I have never met a wise person that is in an insane asylum. People with wisdom just don't lose their minds. Now, there are debilitating diseases that people can get where their mind crumbles. But for the mental breakdown, wisdom, when people have wisdom, you don't find that happening. the Bible said there in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, wisdom shall keep thee. What will it keep? It'll keep you faithful. It'll keep you joyful. It'll keep you productive. It'll keep you spiritually straight. So this thing called wisdom, it's going to preserve me. It's going to keep me. And then Solomon says, my dad said, I ought to love wisdom. You know, if you love something, you're going to seek it out. I love Reese peanut butter cups. Now, Brother Croom brings me Reese peanut butter cups every Sunday morning. You know something? I always make sure I am where he is at the beginning of the service. You say, why? Because he's going to shake my hand, and then he's going to stick his hand in his jacket pocket and hand me a Reese peanut butter cup. And because I love those. And now, when he's not at church, I'm just glad he banks them up and he brings me two the next time. But, you know, I seek that because it's something I love. If you love something, you treat it as precious. If you love something, you seek it out. So if you're going to love wisdom, you got to seek wisdom. Solomon says, my dad says, wisdom is the principal thing. Now, a lot of people miss this in life. Wisdom is the center of the bullseye of the Christian life. It's the most necessary part of the vehicle of the Christian life. You have an engine. That's a pretty important part of your car. But the truth is, your glove box is not. Wisdom is the engine. It's the drivetrain, if you will, of the Christian life. Wisdom, if it were a meal, it would not be a little piece of bread. It'd be a piece of meat. It'd be the main course of a meal. If it were your body, it would be your heart. Wisdom is the heart of the body. It wouldn't be your toenail. Why? It's not secondary. It's primary. It's the center of the circle. That's why he said wisdom is the principal thing. So here, Solomon says wisdom will preserve you. Wisdom will keep you. You ought to love wisdom and seek it out. And wisdom is the principal thing. Now, you'll hear lots of definitions for the word wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is insight into life, if you will. I think the best definition for wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. When you and I can see using God's perspective, see it the way God sees it, seeing things from where God sees it, that is so important. And that's what wisdom is. I think the great need in our country, obviously, is salvation. And then after salvation, it is probably people becoming wise through the Word of God. I think moms need wisdom. I think dads need wisdom. Husbands and wives need wisdom. I think churches need wisdom. I think pastors need wisdom, and teachers and leaders. And I think, oh my, teenagers. God knows if teenagers could grasp the importance of wisdom, that the number of conflicts and mistakes that a teenager would make if a teenager would just become consumed with wisdom. If we would let the wisdom of God influence us in our youth as much as we let our peers influence us, we would be so much better off.
Right.
Now, wisdom, it's seeing life through the eyes of God. Folks, always remember this. Life is a series of decisions. All day long, every day, you just make decisions. It's decision after decision after decision after decision. Well, not all decisions are just right and wrong. Some of you minimize your success in life because you think as long as you're not doing right, or as long as you're not doing wrong and doing right, that you have made the ultimate decision. But the only problem is all of life is not just right and wrong. I believe there is a right and wrong. And that's taught in the Bible very, very clearly. But wait a minute. There are levels of right. I believe there is a good, better, and best in the realm of right decision making. The reason why a lot of people do not succeed is they are very base in their decision making. They look at something and say, is it a sin or is it not? It is not. I will do it. But let me ask you this. Is it the best thing for you? It's not always right and wrong.
Right.
There is a good, better, and best. And sometimes we run into a decision and say, It's not bad. It's good. I'm going to do it. But wait, there are levels of good decisions. And by the way, there are levels of bad decisions. Right. But tonight we're dealing with the subject of wisdom. And I want you, and I think when one develops wisdom, they quickly discern the difference between right and wrong, but then they have the tool, wisdom, to help them not to make just good decisions, not just better decisions, but I want to make the best decision.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. You take it, for instance, I made a list, I said earlier, I think parents and moms and dads and teenagers and churches, I think they need wisdom. I believe that when one gets wisdom, it will affect, I think it affects churches. I think when a pastor seeks wisdom, that wisdom can make a big difference in his church, a very big difference in his church. I think sometimes pastors even limit themselves to good and bad. That's a good decision, bad decision, but wait a minute. Do we want to just do what it's okay with God? I don't want to do just what's okay. I want the ultimate will of God. I want the ultimate blessing of God, not just to be inside the realm of right. Now, wisdom will help you to get that. It'll help you to discern right and wrong very quickly. But wisdom then will give you the power, the strength, or the insight to make the right decision between good, better, and best. Now, say, well, why would I want wisdom, Brother Owens? Let me give you some reasons for it. First of all, when you get wisdom, you'll have a more enjoyable life. Your life will be more enjoyable. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy. Now, that word happy would be akin to our word joy. They're not exactly alike. And I realize the word happiness comes from happenings. But at the same time, this is talking about, it's a positive attribute, it's a positive trait. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You know, you'll be happy when you find wisdom, and you're going to be happiest when you find the wise way to live your life. You'll be happiest when you start seeing your finances God's way. You'll be happiest when you start seeing your mind God's way. Let's talk about your entertainments. You'll be happiest when you see God's way. Hey, even when you start seeing your weaknesses from God's perspective, that can produce a happiness in your life. Proverbs 3:17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Now, that is in the context of Proverbs chapter 3, and wisdom has been personified. So when it says her ways are ways of pleasantness, it's again in reference to this quality called wisdom. Notice, it said pleasantness, and it's a path of peace. Are you miserable? Well, maybe there's a lack of wisdom in your life. Because here it says wisdom produces pleasantness. It produces happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. If you're miserable, young people, if you're miserable at home with mom and dad, there's probably a lack of wisdom in your life. Probably a lack of wisdom in your life. If you're miserable in your marriage, there's probably a lack of wisdom somewhere in your life. In what area of life are you miserable? Is wisdom leading that area of your life? Is wisdom involved in that area of your life? But you say, well, why in the world would I want to grow in the area of wisdom? Well, you're going to have a more enjoyable life that way. But secondly, you'll have a more productive life. You have a more productive life. Let me read to you from Proverbs 3. That's the text where we started. In Proverbs 3:16, it says, length of days is in her hand. There's wisdom personified, her. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Now here the Bible says, length of days are in her right hand. It's talking about more productive days. No wisdom, I'll put it this way, no wisdom, no productivity that's lasting. A little wisdom, a little productivity. A lot of wisdom can equal a lot of productivity. When the Bible says length of days are in her right hand, it means in wisdom you can have length of your day. Now, people that are working people understand when they say, boy, I got a lot done today. You ever feel like you get a couple days worth of work into one day? That's what wisdom will do for you. Amen. Now, you say, I never get anything done. There might be a wisdom issue there. Have you ever met workers that are not wise? Mm-hmm. They never get anything done. They look all day long, they stare at the problems instead of looking for solutions. Mm-hmm. Wisdom will give you more productive days. Now, I think wisdom helps a 24-hour day turn into a 25-hour day. You get a lot done. Listen, some of you, here's a statement I wrote down today. You need to learn to be addicted to excellence, not busyness.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Be addicted to excellence, not just busyness. Some people think if they're just busy, they're productive. I've watched all sorts of people that are busy, that aren't really getting anywhere. And you're supposed to be accomplishing something with that busyness, just wasted energy, just moving around for the sake of moving around. Hey, moms, let me tell you something. Wisdom in your day will make you more productive. If you're a mom and you say, I'll tell you what, this has got so much to do. I am so busy. Wisdom will bring a reprieve to your day because it will help you. It'll help you to be productive. Wisdom will teach you how to schedule things. Wisdom will teach you how to be productive within your day. Leaders, men at work, ask God to give you wisdom at work. You'll become more productive at work. Wisdom will tell you when to zig and when to zag. Wisdom tells you when to talk and when not to talk and when to be productive and when maybe to back off just a little bit. Wisdom gives you an insight into life that will cause you to be more productive. So it'll give you a more enjoyable life, it'll give you a more productive life, and it'll give you a longer life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Wisdom can multiply your days. Wisdom's very good for your health. Now, I think vitamins can be good for your health, and I think eating right can be good for your health, and I think exercising can be good for your health. I think that you get a physical, and it can help you attend to your health. But I can tell you this, you're going to be far healthier in life because of wisdom than by any of those other things. Getting the wisdom of God in your life is going to contribute to your health. It's going to help you live longer. It'll prolong your actual life. Because it says there, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Look, young people, you want to live a long time? It would be a wise thing for you to listen to your mom and dad. When dad says, don't play on the railroad tracks, if you'll get the wisdom of listening to your dad, you'll probably live longer. Train can bring your death your life to an early death real quick. There were times where I thought I was going to die because I didn't listen to my mom and dad. There were things, there were times in my life where, oh my, I should have listened. You say, well, preacher, I know somebody that they died when they were 30 and they were very spiritually wise. What do you understand? You think that disproves the fact that wisdom prolongs your days, but what that means is if they died at 30, they should have died on life's calendar. They probably should have died when they were 20 and their life had already been extended to age 30. But the Bible tells us that wisdom prolongs our days. I think it gives us a longer day, but I think it gives us a longer lifespan. I think wisdom will prolong the life of a church. I think wisdom will prolong the life of a marriage. I think wisdom will prolong the life of a business. I think wisdom will prolong the life of a ministry. Now, I've watched people, even with ministries, and they just didn't have wisdom. So they weren't doing bad things, they just weren't doing the best thing, so they minimized their productivity, they minimized the strength or the life of their ministry. Had they just been able to make a few higher quality decisions, which are not gained by man's intelligence, but by gained by God's insight. Right. And when you are able to make decisions for your ministry, not just good, not just better, but best, you prolong the length of the life, if you will, of that ministry, that business, that marriage, or that family. Now, and you know, wisdom will tell you don't get into sin. You know, sin is basically a slow form of suicide. That's basically what sin will do to you. But let me tell you this. I also believe that by getting wisdom, you'll have increased influence in life. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3. And remember, Proverbs 3 is where we started out. Wisdom has been personified, referred to in the feminine gender. And it says, The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. But here it says the wise shall inherit glory. Now the word glory there is talking about influence. It's talking about making an impact. So here's what we've discovered. This thing called wisdom will make our life more enjoyable. It'll give us more productivity in our life. It'll give us a longer life. And now we see that we're going to make an impact. We're going to influence because of it. I think wisdom can help the Christian to make an impact on the lost. We can influence the lost. You say, how so? By being a soul winner. I think, hey, husbands, let me recommend something to you. One of the greatest and most powerful leadership tools in a marriage is wisdom. Amen. It's just wisdom. It's not brute force. It's not logic. It's wisdom. Wisdom makes all the difference in the world. Ladies, you say, my husband, he's a hard man to understand. Get wisdom. God can help you to understand some things. Our influence with our children. Look, I don't care how many books you read on child rearing, you still want to pull your hair out and say, this helped a little, but not very much. Amen. What are you doing? You know, where in the Bible does it teach us how to potty train? You know it's got to get done. They've been doing it for years. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot of challenges to this thing called child rearing. You say, what's the key? Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom, and you know, we ought not want to just train our children in regard to the difference between right and wrong. It ought to be that they do right, and then we help them to accomplish good, better, we hope, best. That ought to be the thing. Best is what we're seeking. Hopefully, our children then will recognize there's a good, better, and best. There's a very lazy part of Christianity that's just inside the realm of right. I don't want to be just inside the realm of right. I want to be at the best level of Christianity. You're going to have increased influence because of wisdom with your family, with other Christians, with your followers. I think, let me tell you all something. You ought to want to have wisdom so you know how to deal with even with your enemies. And some people just don't know how to deal with their enemies. You need to learn how to deal with your enemies. Why? Because God tells us there's a relationship, even with our enemies, that we're supposed to keep. So if we get wisdom, it'll give us a more enjoyable life. It'll give us more productivity in our days. It'll give us a longer life. It'll give us increased influence. Now, there are a lot of reasons that you ought to want wisdom. You say, where in the world, how do you get this thing called wisdom? Okay. First of all, you get it from the Word of God. This is the wisdom book.
Amen.
From cover to cover, it's packed full of wisdom. Right. And it's not man's wisdom. Don't get confused. I'm not talking about the worldly wise. I'm not talking about Dr. Phil or Oprah. Amen. Dr. Oz. I'm talking Dr. Jesus. I'm talking the Word of God. I'm talking about the everlasting one. I'm not talking about the ones in Hollyweird. Now we're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 4 says this. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. It's talking about the subject of wisdom. Now, if you don't read the book of wisdom, then you're going to be short on wisdom. Now, don't make the mistake. Those of you that in the last few years have graduated from high school or will graduate soon, don't get the idea that, oh, you know, I'm done at the Christian school. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. Let me tell you something. When you launch into your young adult life and you have now kind of left the nest to some degree with mom and dad and you're out of the Christian school, you need more wisdom now than what you've ever needed in your life. So, but if you don't read God's book, then you're not getting the wisdom that's available. If you don't go to the right kind of a church, you won't get wisdom. Now, let's face it. There are churches out there that won't even teach you the difference between right and wrong. That is just base in Christianity. But you know, if I were going to attend a church, I like to go to a church where my pastor could show me not only the difference between right and wrong, but he could teach me how to make the decision between good, better, and best. That's the kind of place where I'd like to be.
Yeah.
I would like to not just exist in my Christianity, yeah, but grow and step up in my thought processes and in the application of the Bible. But you'll get wisdom from the Word of God. Let me tell you this. When you miss church, you're missing wisdom.
Amen.
You're missing wisdom. There's wisdom that you need. So you've got to read it if you're going to get wisdom out of it. You've got to find a church that will teach you so that you can gain wisdom, and then you need to be faithful so that you get the wisdom that is available. So where am I going to get this wisdom? I want to get it from the Word of God. Now, don't get the wrong impression. You don't have to come to church. That's not the only place you're going to get wisdom. You ought to be reading your Bible on your own.
Amen.
You read it at home, and God will give you wisdom through the reading of the Word of God. Secondly, there's another place where you can get wisdom. The Bible teaches you can get wisdom from other wise people. Other wise people. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So God said, now of course when you are in your Bible, you're walking with God. So there you're walking with the wise man when you walk with God. But now it's talking about humanly. You know that there are some people who have walked with God that can share with you the wisdom that God has given them. So God said, read my word, it will get you wisdom. Then get around other wise people. I have to tell you, maybe the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, some of the older, wiser men that I've had the privilege to be around. I don't know why, but when I got to Bible college, I spent all my time with older people. And even as a young preacher, I just didn't run with the young preachers that were my age. I was always running with men 20 and 30 and years older than me, all of which now are basically in heaven. And I don't regret that one little bit. You know, I wanted to study the Bible, but I'll just tell you something. You be sitting with a man that's 20 years your senior that has for years desired the wisdom of God, and in a few sentences, he can lay out something that you maybe not wouldn't have obtained in your search for wisdom. You might not have gotten it in years, in years, in years. Oh, the shortcut that getting around a wise man can make available in your life. I was still in Bible college, and I was having appointments and meetings regularly with Dr. Jack Hiles. I mean, I sat every week of my life from the time I was just a kid out of Bible college. I sat with him and meeting after meeting after meeting. I mean, I sat and heard him preach over 5,000 sermons in my lifetime. And I mean, 3 meetings a week. I'll tell you something. Every day of my life, I say, what would my preacher do right now? I borrow the wisdom that was passed on to me. I think of the times that I've been around Dr. Lee Robertson, and we preach together over and over again. And of course, Brother Hiles is in heaven and Dr. Robertson is in heaven. But I remember speaking and sitting, and we would be at a conference somewhere, and Dr. Robertson would come in and sit down, and I wasn't shy. I'd go right over and just sit. I didn't want to bother him. I'd just go sit by him. And before long, he'd talk to me, and I'd think, okay, this is it. He broke the ice. I'd just sit by him and ask him questions. Oh, I remember time and time again. I remember having over an hour-long conversation with Dr. Tom Malone when I was getting ready to leave being an assistant pastor to go into being a pastor. And we talked and talked and talked and talked. Dr. Bobby Robertson, Mrs. Owens and I, a couple years ago, we went for a couple days and stayed with Dr. Bobby Robertson. Those of you that don't know, Brother Robertson's wife went to heaven here just a few months ago. But we went and spent days with Dr. Bobby Robertson and his wife. And I am telling you, that we had so much fun. We were going out to our meals and spending time together. And I would just listen to the man talk. And I thought, boy, he is just so wise. So wise. Now, my old college president, Dr. Wendell Evans, and then there was a man, when I went to Bible college, the oldest man in the entire college, his name was Maurice Paulson. He was the missions director. And I mean, his hair was totally gone, but just a little bit of brush right above his ears, like one of the Three Stooges. And he was about 6'3", and he walked about as slow as a man could walk. And he wasn't real exciting. I sat by him every day in chapel, 5 days a week. I walked him from chapel. Every day I'd walk that old man down to his office, and I would just sit there in his office. But I'll tell you something. That man had been on 5 different continents, and he had started missions work all around this world. And you just talk about a man that dripped of wisdom. I don't regret that. But my peers were on the basketball court. And I was sitting with an old gray-haired man in his office trying to absorb what he had to offer. I thank God for my dad, the wisdom of my father. My dad, not all of you have met my dad. My dad would remind you of Andy Griffith and Mayberry. But he has a wisdom about him. And listen, you get wisdom from the Word of God. Search for it. Seek it. Then you get wisdom from other wise people. Young people, let your mom and dad not only pass on to you the way to earn a living, but let them pass on to you the way to live. Let them teach you the wisdom of life. And you say, and here's what young people say, well, I know the difference between right and wrong. Yes, you should. 2-year-olds know the difference between right and wrong, young people. But dad can give you wisdom. And there's a difference in the base level of the difference between right and wrong, and a daddy that can look at something and say to you, son, you could do it that way, but there are 3 other levels of right, and I don't want you to just make it. I want you to succeed in life and be superior as a Christian. You young ladies, let your mom give you some wisdom in life. Let her teach you. There's more than just the difference between right and wrong. There is a way to succeed and to be superior in your Christian life. And that can be passed on through grandmas and grandpas and wise people at the church. So, where are you going to get this thing called wisdom? You get it from the Word of God. Where are you going to get this thing called wisdom? You're going to get wisdom from other wise people. There's another place you can get wisdom. You get wisdom as a result of soul winning. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I think you get wisdom from soul winning. I think you do. You say, how so? There's nothing that'll train you to handle people better than just go out soul winning. It'll train you, it'll give you, it'll make it. People work is the great work of life. And you go out soul winning, you're going to meet the young ones and the old ones and the smart ones and the dumb ones and the tall ones and the short ones. And you're going to meet the atheists and the ones that think they're believers that are not really believers because they've never trusted Christ. You're going to come across everything under the sun. Soul winning has a way of developing a person's wisdom in their dealing with people. But I think that you get wisdom from soul winning, but I think this also, I think God blesses people with wisdom who are soul winners. I'll tell you why. The most precious things in the sight of the Lord is people getting saved. And this is what I think. I think when you and I go soul winning, God looks down and says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you something special. Because you've done what is most important to me, I can give you a dose of what is most important to you. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something I recommend. When you go soul winning, after you've won someone to Christ, turn to God and say, Lord, here in Proverbs 11:30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you give wisdom, Lord, because of soul winning, I just won someone to Christ, bring it on. Technique. When I have big decisions to make, you say, what do? Oh, I'll call a counselor. But the biggest decisions in my life are always, I always go soul winning right before I make them. Always. You're going to pick someone to marry? I'd make sure that your soul winning's up to date right before you pick. Take a new job? I'd probably do a little soul winning. Why? God will bless you with a unique wisdom. So I believe that soul winning, I think you're wise because you go soul winning. But I think you can get wisdom as a result of your soul winning. You get it in the logical sense that you're dealing with people and learning how to deal with them. But I also believe that when you're winning people to Christ, that is so dear to the heart of God. God says, I love that. And he will then turn around and bless you with wisdom because you've won someone to Christ. I have one more point, but let me review. We're talking about growing and wisdom. If you'll get wisdom, it'll make your life more enjoyable. If you'll get wisdom, you'll be more productive. If you get wisdom, it will prolong your life. If you get wisdom, it will promote or increase your influence. Where do you get wisdom? You're going to get it from the Word of God. You're going to get it from other wise people. You can get it from soul winning, and then finally, and we'll be done. There's one other place where you can get wisdom. I call them the reproofs in life. Listen to Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to read to you verse 31. It says, Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Here the Bible says there's a thing called the reproof of life. The reproof of life can give you wisdom. Now, I have to tell you, this is my least favorite way to get wisdom. What is this? This is where you get where life whacks you upside the head and says, okay, stupid, don't do that while you're bleeding. The reproof of life. Now, I have gained a lot of wisdom in life by doing stupid things, doing it the wrong way. And I look back and say, I guess that's not how you do that. There have been times I've looked at myself and I said, why in the world did you say that? That was so dumb. And I remember those. I have scars to prove some of my wisdom. Losses, pains, damaged relationships. Now, this is the worst way to get wisdom. Now, someone said, experience is the best teacher. Now, I want you to know, I don't agree with that. I don't think you have to experience drunkenness to know that drunkenness is bad. I don't think you have to experience pregnancy out of wedlock to know that it's not a good thing. I don't think you have to experience going to jail knowing you shouldn't break the law. I think experience is a teacher. But the best experience for me is if you could experience it and learn how not to do it and then tell me, I could listen to that. I mean, if you want to go to jail and then say to me, no, don't do that, you'll go to jail, I'll take that experience. But the truth of the matter is, God would rather you got wisdom from the Word of God. God would rather you got wisdom from somebody else that got wisdom from the Word of God. God would rather you got your wisdom from your soul winning and your concern for the souls of men. God would prefer to not have to spank you to wisen you up. But just in case you're too arrogant, too full of pride, and you won't listen to mom, dad, the preacher, you won't listen to somebody that's trying to pass it on to you, you won't read your Bible, believe me, you're going to get some, at least a glance at wisdom, one way or another. It may be a lot of suffering and a lot of loss and a lot of pain. And we've all learned lessons that way. But you can get wisdom from what the Bible calls the reproofs of life. And you ought to let that be your least, most desirable way to gain this thing called wisdom. Remember, life is not made up of just right and wrong decisions. That is very base. That is very simple. Life is right and wrong. But wait, there are levels of right. You and I ought to strive for the highest level of right. There are even some here. You know, you say, well, I'll only do what God dogmatically commands of me. You're a very, very shallow Christian. You and I should not just do what God emphatically, dogmatically commands of us. You and I ought to do even what we think God would prefer that we do.
Right. Good.
Mrs. Owens, she enjoys a cherry Pepsi. Now, if I were going to get her a pop, I'd not get her a Dr. Pepper. Now, she wouldn't mind it, but she'd prefer a cherry Pepsi. And you, why do you do that? Your boss likes coffee in his cream coffee, and you get him cream in his coffee. And your husband likes chocolate chip cookies, and so you make chocolate chip cookies. You say, why? Well, it doesn't demand it, but that's what he prefers. Now, you listen to me. If the human race can look for one another's preferences because we think that's a nice thing to do for somebody that you love, I've got news for you. That shouldn't we love him ultimately? And if God does not dogmatically, emphatically just make you do it, look, we ought to be so far beyond that, it's pathetic. We ought to be saying, God, if you even kind of want it, you can have it. I've watched people just fight God on some things that if they loved him, they wouldn't be fighting him. They'd say, whatever you want, God, sure. No problem. If you want cherry Pepsi or chocolate chip cookies, God, I'll get you a case and a dozen. But wisdom is what produces that desire in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's grow in the area of wisdom. Do you need the wisdom of God in your life? We're going to have an altar call. And just think about it. How many complications in life are self-inflicted? You make your decisions using your mind instead of the mind of Christ. You make your decisions not asking yourself, is this wise? How many times have you limited yourself by saying, well, bad, good, it's good, it's okay. Well, wait a minute. Is it possible that it just okay is not good enough? Maybe we should have sorted through this thing and looked at the smartest, the wisest decision. The wisdom of God. I think there ought to be people tonight say, you know something, I want that. I want that wisdom. I don't want to just make my decisions at the basest level. I want something that's above that. I want the wisdom of God in my life. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Come and say, God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom. I'll tell you, though, dads, you will need wisdom. Moms, you will need wisdom. Teenagers, you need wisdom. Those of you at work, some of you can do so much better at work. If just at work, you would start using wisdom. Say, this is good, this is bad. Well, okay, but there's more to it than that. As a leader, you need wisdom. Right now, there are people that are suffering conflict in relationships. And the answer is you need to start asking God to give you wisdom. To know when to talk, when to be quiet, how to say it, how to word it. How much to discuss at one particular time. Wisdom. Wisdom. Says about wisdom, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and all thy getting get understanding. Watched.